The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Donal Ryan is with me. He is the author of Heart Be At Peace. You won't have seen it in bookshops yet because it is only out tomorrow. Donal, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kieran.
Is this a nervous day for you now, the day before publication? Are you an old hand at this stage? Yeah.
Well, this is the eighth time around, so at this stage, no, I shouldn't be nervous. But you still get a bit nervous, all right. You never kind of get used to, you know, speaking in public. And if you're not a natural, I'm not at all. So it can be a bit nerve-wracking at times. And also, I mean, you want the book to do well and you want people to like it, and that's not always going to be the case. So, you know, what can you do about that, really?
So, listen, we won't kind of give away too much, but I don't think we are when we let people know that it's a kind of a follow-on, though it doesn't have to be read in this order, to Spinning Heart. So when you wrote that, was it always the ambition to go back to it at some stage, to these characters?
Yeah, it kind of was. I mean, Spinning Heart, I wrote in a kind of a blind rush, you know, because I didn't want to lose confidence. And it was the second book I wrote, and I wrote it very quickly in kind of very short snatches. And
How quickly is quickly?
Well, I mean, I wrote it over a year, but I mean, I was very busy during that year because I'd started a new job that I kind of had weekend and night work, and we just had a baby. And so it was kind of crazy. So I was writing a couple of hours here and there whenever I got a chance. And I thought, I won't overthink it too much. I'll just write the voices as they come. And I realised, like, long after it was published, that people were very unclear about what happens in the end. And so and my mum kept saying, well, you just write sequels, people know, because people were even asking her what happens to Bobby and stuff. And I thought it was very clear, but I think it was kind of left there as a kind of literary ambiguity. I don't know if it was done very well, but I kind of cleared things up. But always, but the voices were always kind of at the back of my head as well. And I always kind of wondered what might happen to the people involved. Mm. And, you know, and they've crossed over, some characters have crossed over into other stories and novels. So they were always kind of present as well. And it's the same place. I mean, I've set nearly everything I've written in the same kind of fictionalized version of North Tipperary.
It's got kind of features that we would identify traditionally with places like that, be it North Tipper or anywhere else in the country, the kind of the valley, the squinting window stuff, and everybody knowing everybody's business. But then there's kind of very modern and contemporary things in it. There's WhatsApp messages going around that people are terrified about kind of getting exposed in, about their shenanigans in Amsterdam and stuff. We won't give away too much. I sat the FE one, so I had real flashbacks listening to Hillary describing her time studying for it. Actually, on that, and it was the same with The Spinning Heart. I often wonder how authors put themselves in the mind of their protagonist. And is the challenge for you that you're putting yourself into the mind of so many different people?
You know, it's a very strange thing because I didn't find it as challenging to write this kind of novel at all. I find it more challenging to stay in one character's mind.
You have a flair for schizophrenia or something.
I kind of do, I think, yeah. I mean, it is like writing fiction is quite a schizophrenic experience. You know, you do have to kind of, you know, take on different personalities and try to immerse yourself in different voices. But I mean, I just finished a novel which has its lens through one character's eyes, and it's far more relentless and kind of wearing, you know. And it's silly to say it because there's no labour involved, but it can be physically tiring. But that sequel to Heart Be At Peace again was quite easy to write. The voices came quickly. Some voices were almost just waiting there, you know. Kate in particular, it felt like she was waiting just to say, come on, will you, I need to tell my story, you know. And her story came out really quickly without very much thought, because I hadn't considered what might happen to her. It just kind of formed itself as a role, which was great. Yeah. When that happens, it's great. It takes away some of the effort. But, you know, and they were kind of clamouring, and I wouldn't say it wrote itself, but it did feel at times as though it was almost written already. I just had to kind of take it down.
You know, these athletes, and we're looking at them here in our TV screens in studio, they all say they hate being asked as soon as they walk off the pitch or out of the pool, or they've got a medal around their neck. What's next? What's next? The book is only out tomorrow, but yeah. I mean, is there going to be a third visit to North Tip and to all of these characters?
I kind of think there might be, actually, because they're pretty short books anyway, you know. And I do think people still will say, like, what happened to such a person and such a character? And when that question's asked, it's lovely because it does seem as though people treat the characters as real people.
Well, isn't it a great example? I often think, and I only remarked kind of made a remark on designs in the context of a book I finished last night, Chris Whittaker's book, All the Colours of the Dark.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I just, it just books that you're sorry you're finished reading, yeah. You get to the end of it and you're like, God, I'm actually sorry that's over. That was such a great ride. And it's a bit like that with the characters, isn't it? That people, they get to the end of The Spinning Heart or they get to the end of this one, they think, God, I really want to know what's going to happen next
Yeah, that's a kind of an ambition for all writers, I think, to make a reader feel that way. Because I love feeling that way myself. I love being so immersed that I really hate turning to the last page.
Like for people who haven't read The Spinning Heart, obviously you're going to tell them go out and buy it and then buy this one as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't have to have read it.
No,
you know,
no,
if people do see this in the shop window tomorrow.
No, it stands alone. And I think one of the difficulties of The Spinning Heart and any polyphonic novel is people putting the links together, and you don't really have to, you know, because you can't make people see it this way, but what I intended was that people would kind of see it as being in a village for a weekend or a week and hearing a lot of stories, not quite knowing who's connected to who, but it not mattering, and getting kind of an impression of the place. But, you know, it does stand alone. It's got its own narrative. It's got its own story, and the characters kind of tell their own stories fairly well anyway. So, you know, you don't need to have read The Spinning Heart to enjoy it.
Describing John B. Keane, said he was the cutest carryman of them all because he stood behind the bar, he listened to everybody telling their stories and then sold their stories back to them.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, I mean, how many people are kind of in the Midwest, if we'll say that, might recognise themselves or echoes of things they're kind of vaguely aware of?
That's a really strange thing, because sometimes I do get very close to home with people that I love and friends, and they don't see it, and then total strangers will say, you stole my story.
Really?
That's funny, isn't it? Really strange. But what else can you do, really? I mean, you have to, as Clement to Bede said, wouldn't you have to plunder and steal from your family and your loved ones, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no such thing as original art anymore, is that what they say? I want to put one thing to you before I let you go. Mm-hmm. Somebody credited you as one of the voices that kick-started the current golden age of Irish fiction. How do things like that sit with you?
Oh, well, no, we didn't say that at all. No, it just happened. I was just around at the right time, and it seemed that way because there was such, not a revival, but there was such a kind of resurgence in Irish independent presses at the time, around the start of the 2010s, and loads of great books came out at the same time. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, we're the best storytellers in the world, and there's no denying it. Like, you know, per head of population, we've got some of the biggest hitters in literature, you know, like Enid Wright and Roddy Doyle, come to being these people, you know, it's fantastic.
Well, listen, it is out tomorrow on bookshelves, the second part of the trilogy, will we call it that?
Fair enough.
Thanks, Kieran. From Donal Ryan. Donal's going to be in conversation with Alex Clark in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary on Thursday week. So tomorrow week, the 15th of August, and pavilionthatre.ie is where people can go to get tickets. Donal, thanks a million.
Thanks so much, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.